Praise the Lord. It is such a great honor to be back here in Hot Springs. And it's so good to be with Pastor Brown and his precious wife and all the kids. And I love this place. It's the only church where I minister in Arkansas, so love coming here every year. Every time I come here and I get closer, I always desire to live in a place like this. You will say, well, why? Church, not living in Atlanta or Washington, D.C. or Dallas may sound very impressive, but sometimes something goes astray when you live in those big cities. You guys live so close to nature, and you don't know what you look like because I look at you objectively. And I see you different than what you see yourself. So enjoy where you are, where you live. Enjoy this region. You are very fortunate. Sometimes what you miss, you should never have known. So what you miss happening in the big cities is not always something you should have known. So thank God for what you've missed. And thank God for what you don't know. Because, and I'm serious, you are a protected people in a certain way. And it is so good to be here. I'm so glad Shane is back out of the forest. And he was on a hunting trip for a long time, and he shot nothing. So finally he came back. And amen. You can shake your head, Brother Shane. I'm always right. But it's so good. The bad thing about him is he did not call me once since I was here the last time to encourage me. Not once. So I hope you'll do better in the next year, and don't talk back now. I'm the speaker. Okay, thank you. There's always one person in every church that is out of control, and you need to discipline them from the pulpit. And unfortunately, that is Shane this time. Amen. Okay. And then, of course, Alyssa is here this morning, and she promised me that before I fly back on Tuesday, she will give me her signature on a piece of paper so that I can go and boast and brag a little bit of who I know. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you will be in all the services, Alyssa, because I think maybe the Lord has a word for you. So make sure you are here. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's a lot of chapters to cover. I would have preferred to go in a different direction, but I cannot get away from this since I left Atlanta. And there's no way that I can cover all these chapters, but what I'm about to say will come from these four chapters. There's a verse that caught my attention, and I've never really seen it that way. And that verse is in Joshua 3, verse 7, where God, and let me say this first. When I talk about Moses and Joshua, don't start and allow your thoughts to go in another direction, because sometimes when we read a scripture, people say, well, I know that story so well, you switch off. Very dangerous. The Word of God is so layered with revelation that you can be in ministry for 44 years like myself and still discover a wealth of Word you've missed for 44 years. But in Joshua 3, verse 7, God said to Joshua, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses. You see, that's the big thing. Moses is gone. And everybody is feeling that there's an emptiness now that Moses is gone. Moses was probably the most authoritative person apart from Jesus. He had incredible authority. And here God says, I will exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, then you shall stand in the Jordan. So those two verses, I want to use that, and I want to call this whole thing, at the edge, I will exalt you. An edge is a slippery place. But I feel like the Holy Spirit. I was in it this morning, and I said, Lord, what shall I call this? It's four chapters. There's so much. And the Lord said, at the edge, I will exalt you. The first thing that struck me here is it's not about exalting God. We always sing in the church, I exalt you, I exalt you. And yes, we are here to exalt Jesus. We've done it the whole morning. But here God says to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you. And I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that God is ready to exalt you. He is ready to emphasize you and your mission. And it's not about replacing God. It's got nothing. We can never replace God. We can never be exalted above Him. He is the exalted one. Come on. But the Holy Spirit's intention is to emphasize you, to put you in the limelight, not to become popular, but to complete your journey, to complete your mission. How many of you believe that you have a mission? The day when you were born into this world, you started a journey. And so when you look at these chapters, you need to ask yourself the question, why does God make such a powerful statement in Joshua 3 verse 7? Why there and why not in Joshua chapter 1? You see, sometimes before God can do that, there is a journey that needs to be completed. Come on. You don't get exalted just because you did nothing. God first wants to see, who are you? Will you trust Him? Will you walk with Him? Will you say what He wants you to say? Will you be the person that He wants you to be when you need to be that person? And when God comes to that conclusion, it's time to exalt you. No one can take it away from you. Now when you go to Joshua chapter 1, and again, we're not going to cover all these verses, but in Joshua chapter 1, it says there in verse 1, after the death of Moses, now Moses is gone, he's dead, and he's not the one that's going to take Israel into the promised land. It's now all up to Joshua. And again, we know the story so well. So the first thing God said to Joshua in verse 2 is He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. What He's actually saying to Joshua, get over it. Make peace with the fact that the infrastructure, the model that you have followed for years is gone. It's time for you, Joshua, to take the baton. Now, when I talk about the journey, I'm not talking about a journey to become an evangelist or a fivefold minister. We all have a journey. I was in a church earlier this year where I ministered on kings and priests. And I ministered on, it was a Kingdom Commerce Conference. And they actually put pressure on me to minister along those lines, and I ministered on kings and priests, incredible knowledge that I had for more than 20 years, but I've never ministered on it because kings is the marketplace leaders and the priests is the fivefold ministers, and I spoke about how kings were always connected to a priest in the Old Testament and all the revelation. So when I talk to you about a journey, it's about your journey in business, your journey in studying, your journey in finding your feet in life, your journey in your profession. Because when you study kings and priests, you will discover God said, I will make you kings and priests. He doesn't say, I won't make you priests, and then some of you will just be a king. No, kings and priests, we are all equal. God sees your journey on earth as important than what he sees my journey. Because you may sit in the pew and say, well, Pastor Andre, I am not in the fivefold ministry, and my journey is probably not that important. No, you will make a huge mistake if that is your approach. Because as kings and priests, we are all together to expand the same kingdom. Amen? So every journey is important for God. And I'm not going to go into kings and priests. So he said to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then he promised Joshua several things. He says, every place that your feet will touch is yours. And then in verse 4, from the wilderness to the Lebanon, now he gives him an outline of what region belongs to them. And then several times, you can read it for yourself, verse 6, 7, and 8, God said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Now remember, this is now the beginning of the journey. So what you see here is God is now in a conversation with him, and he's setting him up. And he's saying to him, be strong and very courageous. And when God says, be strong and very courageous, prepare yourself for resistance. He's not going to say, be strong and very courageous if you're going to have a party all the time. How many of you know that you've discovered, especially those that have some gray hair, that life is full of resistance and obstacles and hurdles, and thank you for your excitement. Amen? Be strong and of good courage. And then he said to him, you will get this inheritance. It's yours. And then he said to him in verse 7, do not turn from my commands. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You see, your mouth is very important on this journey. Don't let your own mouth become your biggest hurdle on this journey. Come on. Sometimes I cannot help people because they cannot control their own mouth. And as long as they cannot control their own mouth regarding themselves, I cannot help them. Because I can counsel them, but if they're not going to guard their mouth after I've counseled them, they destroy everything we've just done in the counseling moment. Okay. So then he said to him in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. So what he's actually saying is, you will have reason to be afraid. Sorry to tell you that, but... And then that word strong in the original language, in the Hebrew's language, is chazak. That means to make yourself strong in the Lord. To be rigid, valiant. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. When you go to 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, you will see David... came back from war, their homes were burned down, their wives and children were taken captive, and the best friends of David picked up stones to stone him. But in verse 6, David required of the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He kazaked himself in the Lord. He made himself strong in the Lord. So on your journey, you will have to make yourself strong. Pastor Brown cannot do it for you. I can bring you a great sermon, but I cannot make you strong in your moments when it's you and the Lord. And David required of the Lord, made himself strong in the Lord. I mean, remember, 500 to 600 men, his best friends, turned against him. Sometimes on your journey to exaltation, come on. We are on our way to Joshua 3, verse 7. We say, Pastor, oh, I want a Joshua 3, verse 7 day. Well, you must first walk chapter 1. You must first do chapter 2. And you must first do the first few verses of chapter 3. And when God saw those three chapters, well, up to Joshua 3:7, when God saw what Joshua was willing to do, God decided, today I will exalt you in the eyes. Come on. Exaltation from God does not come in day one. I'm so sorry. I need to break that news with you. But okay, so David made himself strong in the Lord. And then he said to the Lord, shall I pursue? Remember, the woman, the children are gone. Their house is burned down, 1 Samuel 30. And David said, shall I pursue? You see, David had no strength to pursue because all his friends turned against him. The warriors that fight with him turn against him. But now he's ready to pursue. And you know the story. The Lord said, pursue, for you shall recover all. So on your journey, you'll have to strengthen yourself. I'll be 44 years in ministry July 1. The only places where you've seen me is in the pulpit. But you've never seen me in my home, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, when all hell breaks loose, and everything is falling apart, and you need to trust the Lord that He's with you on this journey. And it is in that moment that you start to kazak yourself. You start to prophesy to yourself because nobody else will. You start to lay hands on yourself if you need to because nobody else is close by to do it. And if somebody's going to lay hands on me and they're not passionate about the moment, please don't lay your hands on me. Sometimes you lay your hands on the phone that somebody will ring you and nobody gives you a call to encourage you. That's when you turn your back on everybody and you start to make yourself strong in the Lord. That word strong is the word kazak in the Hebrew. And I want to say to all of you, do not give up. Do not give up. Stay on the journey because I've got a good word for you. Exaltation is coming. And then you will see how Joshua commanded the officers in verse 10 of chapter 1. And then verse 11, he says, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions yourself, and within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan and to go and possess the land. Now, Joshua's announcing these things to the people, but he's got no evidence in the real world that God is with him. God spoke to him, but he has no proof yet. There comes a time that you and I are on this journey, but we don't have much to show that God is with us. It's a matter of faith. Remember again, Joshua 3 verse 7 is still far into the future. And then in chapter 2, he sends spies into the land. I remember in 1996, I was sitting in my office in South Africa, and I knew about America, never been here. And I've done my journey in South Africa and other nations. And the Lord said to me in 1996, it's time that you go and spy the land where I'm sending you. I remember, and I said, okay, God, where must I go? I don't know anybody in the USA, nobody. Where? How do you spy a land if you don't even know where to go to? I will not tell you all the detail on how I came and what happened, but God said to me, go and spy the land. Because in 1982, the Lord gave us prophetic words about this nation, and we will come and we will speak English. English is my second language. That's why I'm so good in it. And he said, go and spy the land. Well, I came to a conference, and maybe I'm going to shock some of you, but I came to a conference of Rodney Howard Brown. There were 10,000 people. It was in St. Louis, Missouri. And because Rodney came from South Africa. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go to a Rodney conference. And because where should I go? I don't know anybody. I wish I knew the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and I could have come to his house if he would have allowed me. I don't think you would. Who am I? I'm just a guy from Africa. I'm an African American. In the future. And so I came. And we went into the conference. We saw what the Lord did. Went through Chicago. Now we're going to fly back. I will never forget. We walk up the street in Chicago. We've never been in a restaurant. We went into a restaurant. We order food and we ask for quesadillas. And then we figure out it's not quesadillas, it's quesadillas. Because we've never seen, I've never seen a Spanish person ever in my life, never seen a Mexican, don't even know what they look like, never even heard about they have their own kind of food. But we spy the land, and we discovered that quesadillas is quesadillas. So in chapter 2, they spied the land. But now we go to chapter 3. We're talking about at the edge, I will exalt you. Your journey have edges. And edges are slippery places. Edges is that place where you will really show that your faith will be open in the open. Everybody will know what you're believing. It's easy to believe when you don't need to show your faith. But it's a different thing to believe when your faith is in the open for everybody to see. So here that we are in chapter 3, and Joshua rose early in the morning. Now, the reason I have such respect for Joshua, I know what it feels like to have a chapter 1 and a chapter 2 and a chapter 3 where you make announcements of what's coming, but you have no proof that God is with you. I know God is with me. It's an inner conviction. But sometimes we love to have the inner conviction to become an outer confirmation. And Joshua had none of that yet. He was just the one that replaced Moses, but 2 million Jews is asking for evidence that you are really the replacement of Moses. Now he makes an announcement and he says, he rose early in the morning and he set out from Acacia and Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So now they are lodging close to the place where they're going to cross over. Now remember, church, they're going to cross over a river that needs to be split. Water don't split. Come on. They are, and Joshua is the one announcing, just lodge close to the river, this thing is going to split. How many of you will believe me if I take you to your closest river and say, just go with me, tomorrow, this time, we will walk through, what is your closest river here? Red River. Did the Red River ever split? If I invite you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, come and join me, and we're going to lodge in front of the river, and I promise you by tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock, that river will split. You will say, Pastor Andre, can you give us a little bit more evidence that God is with you? Are you sure that God is with you? He had no evidence. You see, there comes a time on your journey and my journey where we need to walk by faith. We need to trust that God will ultimately exalt me and establish me for whom I need to be. All of us needs to be established by God. God wants to establish you in your business. He wants to establish you in your profession so that you can have an authority that you've never had before. That's what he's going to do to Joshua. He's going to give him an authority he never had before. But authority doesn't come out of a book. You can read a book on authority, how to get authority. And you can read all the pages, you're not going to have authority. Authority comes out of the journey, where God watches you and God say, I can trust this man. If I exalt him, he's worth it because he made all these announcements for 2 million Jews. Remember, they had the cloud by day and they had the pillar of fire by night. For 40 years, they had incredible, two incredible signs. And Josh was actually saying, don't camp in yesterday's signs and wonders. Let's move on into the unknown. Come on. I'd rather go into the unknown with God than camp in the past and God already left. Come on, church. Don't stay in a place where God already left. Don't celebrate 1940 signs and wonders when God says, let me show you the signs and wonders of 2024. Come on, America. Isn't that good? Okay. So he said, lodge. So it was after 3 days that the children, that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people. Now the officers command the people. Now the officers got their commands from Joshua. Can you see the pressure that Joshua must have been under? I have been under pressure when with certain things that I've done in America, especially the upper room. I'm under pressure again. I'm bringing Suzette Hutting, who is a Reinhard Bonnke in a woman's body, into our next upper room from Germany and others. Pressure. It's difficult to operate under pressure, but man, when the moment comes that God exalts you and he changes what you look like in the eyes of the people, it's worth it. And I want to say to every man and woman here, don't give up. God is on your journey. And so he commanded the people, and then in verse 4, he said, there shall be a space between you and the ark. Now, the ark is the type of the Holy Spirit, and the ark had to cross over with them. The Holy Spirit will not take you where you will die. He will take you where you will live in the fullness and the favor of God. So the ark was with them. And Joshua said to the people in verse 5, now watch this. Now he says this in verse 5. Two verses away where God will speak. Verse 5, he says, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders amongst you. What was his guarantee that God will do wonders? He just preached it by faith. He announced it by faith. There comes a time that God watches us, how far will we go and make announcements and proclamations of what we believe will happen. And there he is. He says, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Remember, church, it's not two Jewish people that he led into the promised land. It's 2 million. 4 million eyes. 2 million times two, because you've got two eyes, it's 4 million. I know it's very deep, but 4 million eyes watching one man who succeeds Moses. Moses is gone. They could not even find the bones of Moses. That tells me God is saying, don't grab back into the past. God says, I will even hide his bones so that you can find nothing of Moses to hold on to. Thank God for Moses, but thank God for tomorrow. And sanctify yourself, the Lord will do wonders. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin. I will begin. Joshua, I have done nothing yet. Joshua, I could not do anything for you in chapter 1. Joshua, I could not do anything for you in chapter 2. Joshua, the few verses of chapter 3, I could not do anything for you, Joshua. I had to watch you, Joshua. I had to bring you close to the edge. You had to bring the people so that they can lodge. See, sometimes God will show up in the last minute when you think, will it or will it not happen? Church, faith pleases God. And he said, I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. So what he's actually saying is, Joshua, now I will start the process to change what you look like in the eyes of Israel. They know you as Joshua, the one that succeeds Moses. But now I will exalt you and I will change what you look like. Wow. There comes a day that God will change people's perspective of you. The one day you were just a young girl and suddenly God changes what you look like in the eyes of people. I mean, I can take this young woman here as an example. Before a moment comes where you get exalted, God will first ask you, do something. And he said, I will exalt you in the eyes of all Israel as I was with Moses. So what God is saying is, you will not even think back of Moses, because I will do for you the same things I've done for Moses. And I want to say to all of you, God is ready to exalt people. He's ready to give you authority. And then he said, you shall command the priest, and when you have come to the edge of the water, you shall stand in the water. So now they're going to stand in the water that they believe God is going to split. And the water did split. I don't need to go through all the verses. How many of you know that waters never form a heap? But when God's authority comes to a place, nature will go against the nature of nature. Come on. When nature goes against the nature of what nature normally do, come on, and the water just stands in a heap for no reason, water loves to flow to a lower place. But when water is under command of water's creator, God made it. And when the creator talks to water, God is saying, water, I want you to do what you will never do again. Because I have a man that has the audacity to announce what I want him to announce, and they need to cross over from the old promise into the new promise. And I want you to do something you will probably never do again. Stand up in a heap, because I have found a man and I will... Come on. When 2 million Jews saw what water do against water's nature, they had a different thought about Joshua. Suddenly, Joshua... it's not Joshua anymore. He's now Moses Joshua. And they realized the God that has been with Moses is with Joshua. Now, church, I'm saying all of this to say God is going to exalt you in your profession where you are as a child of God, so that the people that you work with will realize, we worked with this man for 5 years, but suddenly he's a different man. We've never seen him for who he really is. The reason they've never seen you for who you really are is because you were still on the journey. You were not at verse 7 in chapter 3 yet. But God says, when you go to chapter 3, verse 7, I, God, cannot withhold my hands from you any longer because I have found you faithful. The moment for crossover has come. Now I will change what you will look like. How many of you know that you breathe fresh air because God has something in store for you? Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to encourage you this morning, even when you're young, I want to encourage you. The day will come that God will step in and take over. So the edge of the water is a slippery place, and here they are at the edge. The water split up, and now when you go to chapter 4, you will notice in chapter 4 they picked up stones, and on the other side of the river they build a memorial. Now, stones that you find in the river is different than stones as what you find outside the river. The most beautiful stones is in the river. And they picked up 12 stones and built a memorial. Church, they picked up stones in the riverbed that never splits. So God said, now that the water is working against the nature of what water do, I'm going to give you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to pick up testimonies. Go and read it for yourself. It says in chapter 4, verse 6, so that this will be a sign that when your children ask in time to come, your children will ask in time to come. Chapter 4, verse 6, read it for yourself. So God says, there will come a time in the future when your children look at this memorial, they will say, Dad, these kind of stones, you don't see these kind of stones. Where did this come from? And Dad will say, that came from a crossover where we saw, we had testimonies, miracles, signs and wonders. We got it from a place that you cannot get it there unless God opened it up. Unless God allow nature to go against nature's nature, you cannot see this. And I want to say to all of you, God is going to give you a testimony that you will say, church, I'm already there. I can honestly say, I spoke to a man this morning at 7 a.m. I had to call him. And I had a conversation with this man. And the conversation was about a stone that I picked up, a testimony that I picked up. The stone is of such a nature that I cannot tell you what it is, because it's a very private thing, and this man knows about it. And all I can say to you is, when I talk about these stones that they've picked up, it's not just a sermon. I am the evidence that those stones still exist. And I want to encourage all of you that God is not done with you. And when God exalts you, for instance, if you have a business, and God exalts you in the business world, and whatever you do in your business world, God can give you authority in your business world that your father never had, that the previous generation never had. And you will say, but I don't know how this happened. God says, if I can trust you, you're in the house of the Lord this morning. This is the gathering place of the Lord. You respect the Lord. You came for a word. And God is saying to you, my word to you is, I'm with you on your life's journey, and I'm going to give you testimonies. Because I can trust your mouth. I can trust your confessions. I can trust you leading your family. Before you lead your city, first lead your family. And before you lead your family, first lead yourself. Come on. And I can trust you. And now the moment will come. And that's why I want to say to people that are even in business, don't settle for where you are in business. Because God can exalt you again and again and again. And you will notice they see me different than what they saw me 15 years ago when I was in the same business. What happened? It's God. He's God. Because in the end of the day, you sow a seed into the kingdom of God, and God sees that. And God says, okay, so you are a king in the marketplace, but you respect the priestly anointing. King stands for dominion. Priest stands for glory, dominion and glory. God wants to establish his kingdom through dominion and glory. And God says, if I can trust you, I will promote you, I will bless you, I will strengthen you, and I will shine over you, and I will change what you look like. And I will constantly change what you look like. Because if I can change what you look like, Joshua, I can get a whole nation to go into their destiny. We are all leading somebody. You say, Pastor, but I cannot lead 2 million Jews. No, God says, first lead your family. And then you lead your business. I just use the word business. It could be something else. You can be a teacher. But 10 years from now, you are just not an ordinary teacher anymore. All of a sudden, you have other authorities. What happened? God is exalting you. Oh, come on, church. Oh, come on, church. There's nothing more beautiful than when God says, this day, I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel. So what he's saying is, I'm going to change what you look like in the eyes of other people. And if I change what you look like in the eyes of other people, I'm actually changing their opinion about you. Come on. Come on, church. Maybe you've come through a life where you have been humiliated and ugly words spoken over you. God says, forget about that. When I change what you look like in the eyes of people, their opinion will change. And when their opinion changes, normally their language changes. Huh. How many of you are grabbing a hold of this? When I saw that verse, I said, Lord, that's huge. And that's why I believe we're going to see people emerge and come to the forefront. And the one day there will be a zero. And the next day we will say, but man, from nowhere, this man came on the scene. Who is he? Yeah, he's a nobody according to your opinion. But you better change your mind because God is busy exalting him. Be careful. God loves to do this. And I wish I can spend a few minutes with every one of you and ask you, what is your name? What is your last name? How much money do you have? No, I will not ask that. That's just my humor. It's bad. God needs to save me. Everything is saved, but my humor is still not sanctified. I wish I can spend a few minutes with you and just find out, who are you? What are you doing? What is your profession? And then I want to say to you, prepare yourself for godly exaltation. Godly exaltation is not to be puffed up. And God made sure in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and the few four verses of chapter 3, God made sure, before I say to him, I will exalt him, I first want to do a character test on him. If I am God and I can do chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, I will say, why did you put exaltation in Joshua 1, verse 2? No. God says, no. I first want to build you up, strengthen you, hear your confessions, hear your testimonies. What will you say to the people? Who are you when it's dark? Will you announce it? Will you put the ark first? Will you put the Holy Spirit first? Will you put a space between you and the ark? Chapter 3, verse 5, 4. Will you respect the Holy Spirit in your life? And if all those things are in place, will you make prophetic announcements about your future, knowing what is working on the inside of you? I want to make sure about all of that. And then when you get close to the edge, it's slippery, you can be afraid. Then I will tell you something you've never heard before. How many of you are here to hear what you've never heard before? This day I will exalt you in the eyes of your community, your family, your people, children, this world. If that's your desire, I want you to stand on your feet and say, here I am, Lord. Do it again. How many of you believe that the God that we serve can once again make nature go against nature's nature? That means that nature will change because I'm obedient. If I'm obedient to God, even nature will testify to it. I have a testimony regarding that, but I'm not going to tell you that testimony. It happened 22 years ago, where I saw the hand of God on nature, and God gave favor upon our piece of property in South Africa. When I had to come here, I didn't even know. I had certain plants, very exotic plants in my yard, and they grew so big that you had to have a license to move them. I didn't know it. And when they bought my house, they said, and what about all these plants? I said, man, sir, I just heard that it's worth a lot of money. And unfortunately, it's not part of the deal. And they came and they said, but how did you grow these plants so big? I said, I don't know. I said, they just grew this big. And they said, do you know what it's worth? I said, I just got the news. God even favored my plants in my yard. We sold it. Apart from the house, we sold it for extra money. That paid all our expenses to come to America. I will never forget it as long as I live. I said, Lord, your hand was on the plants in the yard. I just nurtured them and I liked it. I love it. I have an eye for good plants, but I never knew when they grow up, you need a license to get them out of the ground and on a truck and move them. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. How did this happen? When the time come to go to the land that you spied in 96, and the Portuguese guy comes and he wants to buy your house, and you say to the Portuguese guy, my house is not for sale yet. And he say to you, I heard your house will come in the market. Who told you? Your realtor slipped out of her mouth. I heard it. I want to buy a house. I said, my house is not in the market. But I want all your plants. I said, no, I got the news. They are very expensive. He bought them all for the prices that I can tell even more. He even bought my rubbish. Let me tell you that in another service. And I realized, God, when it's time to cross over, oh God, you change us everything. And you give us favor that is inexplainable. You know what? Forgive me if I go over my time. You know, after I got the news about all my plans, I walked back in the yard and I look at the plans and I say, oh my Lord, Jesus, look at these plans. I said, you are worth that much and you are worth that much and you are worth that much and you can bring me in this car. Oh my goodness. And I work at the budget. Oh, the whole container to America, everything is paid by a Portuguese guy who worked with chickens. But God knew. He's got the money. Give me one more minute. Give me one more minute. Can I have one more minute? At that time, I was in the art business. Many of you heard that. I had a business those days when I transitioned from my church, go into the nations. I had to go into a business, and it's a huge story, art, original art. But I had several pieces that I couldn't sell. Those became the pieces that you normally sell on. They will not even buy it on a sale. All framed art. This guy bought all the plants. He bought everything. He bought curtains. He even bought furniture pieces that's broken. I can't believe it. And the Lord says, go and get all those pieces of art that you could not sell in your business for more than 10 years. Dust it off, clean it up, put it in your house. Next time he came to bring me my money, he says, and all these pieces of art? I said, well, the ones on the wall is mine. I said, but this on the floor, it's all for sale. He said, how much? I said, no, the price sits on the back. You know what? He said, made a list. I want them all. He bought it for prices that we thought we can sell it for with 100% profit on it. But nobody wanted to buy it. It's not nice. It's not. But Portuguese people that work with chickens has no idea about art. He bought all the rubbish. And he paid high prices for it. And I said, the difference between you and me, sir, is my God is busy exalting me. Tell all the Portuguese people that you know I love them. I know I'm over my time. It's not my fault because there's no clock that can lead me. There is a clock, but it's too small. I can't see there. Do you believe that this word is for you? If you are willing to do the journey, he is willing to do the exaltation. And many of you are on a journey for a long time. There's several of you that I know that you're on a journey for a long time. And I want to say to you, you are this close to exaltation. Everybody pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, God of Joshua, you are my God. And I know that I'm alive for this hour that is upon me. I will see the wonders of God manifest in my life. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Joshua is my God. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that those who heard this word will be impacted by this word. And I pray, Lord, that authority will come to people and that they will be amazed of the authority they will walk in. And they will say, this came out of my journey of obedience. And now is my time to see nature go against nature and do what nature normally never do. And Father, I pray that they will all pick up stones, once in a lifetime stones, And when they have that testimony, people will say, but how did you get this testimony? And they will say, it came out of my crossover, where I had to walk on firm ground to my new destiny in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Just pray this prayer. Say, and look at me when you say it. Say, I'm done with the cloud and the pillar of fire. I'm reaching out to the new thing God has in store for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. I'm 72 almost. And if I can still dream, then come on, church. If you lose your dream, you're going to lose your life. Because your life is in your next dream. Come on, and if I can still dream. Come on, you old people, say, I will dream. Pastor, that's not for you. Don't you confess that. He just immediately confessed he's not old. If you're over 65, say, I will dream again. Oh, there's only a few of you. If you're over 65, say, I will dream again. And I will be the reason why other people will see the manifestation. There's not many old people in your church, brother. They just die out on me. Amen. I want you to come tonight, tomorrow night. I want to lay hands on people. I want to prophesy to people. I want to help you on a personal. Actually, the Lord wants me to preach shorter and minister more since last year. So I've been disobedient this morning. But this thing about I will exalt you is so huge. I mean, it's huge. For God to say I will exalt you, it's not about to make you puffed up in yourself. It's because of your obedience of yesterday, and it's because of what he wants you to become tomorrow.